We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back into the show. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by friend of the show, Harold Kuntz at Fox 4. Harold, you got on us last time for having you come on during the All-Star break. This time we got you on to talk real NFL news. I hope you're excited.
Man, I am pumped. I'm honored, man. Let's go.
So this is my big takeaway so far from what we've seen at camp. This entire time, I've kind of talked about it like it was three guys for two spots, that the Chiefs have three tackles and only two of them can play. I think we have our answer at left tackle. I think that Josh Simmons is their starting left tackle. They put on the pads. He took every rep. He has been there basically since they have started this entire process. That right now the question is at right tackle. You've been there. Do you see it that way? Do you think the Chiefs have named their starting left tackle?
This is the Dale Carrington. Right now, Josh Simmons is going to be the left tackle, whether that you like it or not. That's what they're determined to do. They're easing him into it. They're making sure he's getting all the checks right, all the calls right. That's basically what they're making you think, that they believe it's going to be Josh Simmons. Now, of course, we have the benefit of last season when they said we were saying the exact same thing about Kingsley. But now that he's moved over to guard, they still got to work on their communication too. So they're just rolling it on left. They basically have said, like, we're rolling with it at left. It's going to be these two guys. You can think of Kingsley essentially as kind of a rookie in this, but you're thinking of two guys. It's Josh and Kingsley. That's it. And even when you look at the one-on-ones, like last night, yesterday, it was Charles Minnehue. Today, Ashton Gelati. I'm sure you've seen the clip going around of him kind of getting tossed aside a bit. They're not even throwing the best rushers they got at for the moment. But then when you see it 11-on-11, he does struggle a little bit with Mike Dana. But it's really just now it's his. And as long as he stays healthy, they're even surprised by how healthy he is. As long as he stays healthy, that's left tackle. But you're right about right. Juwan Taylor coming back, he's still kind of the favorite in my opinion. They're just going to try out Jalen Moore to see what he can do because, I mean, they are paying him. And they have a lot of incentive latest in his contract. But I think that they're also paying Juwan Taylor. So you need to make sure what happens out of him. His knee was kind of up and down, but now his knee looks good. He looked great in the first day of pads, to be honest with you. And today he looked just as good. So, I mean, the incumbent's Juwan Taylor at right tackle, but left tackle, it's Josh Simmons' position.
Let's talk more about Josh Simmons here. How do you think that he's looked? A lot of the tweets and information that I've seen, people are raving about him. We were asking if he is the training camp darling, even though he's a first-round pick. It feels like a lot of the media attention and concern has kind of been about Simmons. You've been up there. How do you evaluate how he's performed so far?
Yeah, there's two media camp darlings right now. And I'd say it's Tyquan Thornton and Josh Simmons. And I think it's just because you see the sheer talent, you see the sheer power that he has. You know, after he came after the patella injury and everything, it looks like he's just he's the guy that you should have put as the first left tackle in the draft. And if so, this is another steal from Brett Veach, if that's the case. And again, we haven't seen live bullets yet. But from what we've seen right now, I alluded to the reps he had against Charles and Minnehue yesterday, stonewalled him on a bull rush, and then the other one, Minnehue gave him a little bit more energy, but he still did a pretty good job. And Mahomes is getting the ball a lot quicker, too. you notice he's not really winding up in those big, long throws that he's been doing a lot of during camp. He's really just setting his base and just letting fly with his arm a little more because, you know, one, it's just because of the timing of it, but two, I think it's just beneficial for him and it's beneficial for the offensive line. But with that Josh Simmons there and the way they work and everything, he's going to have more time to throw in the pocket, even if he's trying to get the ball out quicker or not, which is a huge dividend for the offense. And a lot of those deep throws been going to Hollywood Brown. A lot of them going to Tyquan Thornton. A lot of them going to Xavier Worthy. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's really looking like they've got their answer at left tackle. And if that's the answer, then they can move the offense forward. And then with everybody else, you remember Xavier Worthy still young. He's still getting advanced, and Matt Nagy alluded to this today. He's still getting a little more advanced in the offense. A lot of guys are getting more and more advanced, but Josh Simmons is just a guy. You look at the base, you look at the length that he has there. He's been doing good. You saw the clips against Ashton Gelati today. I mean, it is what it is. You see the power, and even Matt Nagy said today, like, you see the power, and they're just kind of amazed by how much power he does have. So right now, again, training camp darling, but, you know, Chiefs fans could get their hopes up with something that could last at least longer than 2-3 weeks.
Let me ask you this question about Tyquan Thornton, and I do want to get back to right tackle. We're talking to Harold Koontz. He does fantastic work for Fox 4. He's been every day at training camp. I wonder how much of the training camp buzz is going to be around Thornton. I mean, they brought back every wide receiver. They also drafted a wide receiver in Jalen Royals. Like, are we just talking about a fifth wide receiver, a sixth wide receiver, and a gunner on special teams? Like, yeah, that's a really cool July and first couple of weeks in August, but I'd be very surprised if we were talking about Tyquan Thornton in October.
Yeah, I think you're on point there with Tyquan. I mean, you just look at everything going on with the receiving group. You know about Hollywood. You know about Juju. And Juju's had a pretty solid camp, too. But you just know the emphasis of the offense is to get the ball deep. I mean, Tyquan's one of those guys who can do it, but he's going to come down to special teams. And Dave Tobe, as you said, he said he's going to be a gunner, basically. He's going to be a guy that's going to be relied upon on special teams to be a gunner. They're trying to find a way to get him on the team. Now it comes down to the decision. Do you want the four running backs? Do you want four tight ends? Do you want seven wide receivers just because of Bashir's potential looming suspension? So he's got to find a way onto the field. His prove-it moment is going to be special teams, for sure. That's just where it's going to be, just with everybody they have right now on the docket there. It's a loaded receiving room. That's why you saw a guy like Justin Ross basically say, I want out. He's like, he knew he didn't have a chance. Tyquan Thornton gives you a chance. He's great. He's definitely high-pointed a couple of balls. He's worked the sidelines well, what they want. It seems like there's chemistry there with Patrick Mahomes, and the most important thing, he's working with the ones. He's not just working with the ones like toward the back end. He's in the middle and more the front end of those reps when they go to team. So he's a name to look out for sure, but he's still going to have to make his way through special teams.
Right now, we're talking to Harold Koontz of Fox 4, just getting a training camp kind of recap from everything that happened over the weekend. There's been so much focus on Josh Simmons. I haven't really heard a whole lot about Rashee Rice. He's back. He's healthy. He's practicing. What have you seen from him so far?
Looks good. I mean, you see the short and intermediate routes. I mean, a lot of what you saw the first 4 weeks of the season is exactly what you're seeing here now. Now, he's just not he's not proven to be a deep route guy when it comes to games. He's had a couple touchdowns, don't get me wrong, in the regular season games, but he's just not that consistent factor that I think they want Xavier Worthy to be in his second year. So you see the short and intermediate routes. He's been doing really well in the one-on-ones. I mean, you put top cornerbacks on him, you put a McDuffie on him, you put a Watson on him, he's still doing pretty good today. He's doing good in the short stuff, the intermediate stuff. I mean, he's really rounding out his game, and he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. He looks healthy, he looks quick, and it's just a matter of now, like, do they know how much do they have him during the season? When they have him during the season? What's going on there? Those questions are not going to be answered right now until we get an NFL communications release or something of that nature about it. But for right now, he's looked very good in camp. I mean, honestly, the receivers have looked good in camp. It's almost made me think to myself, like, what's wrong with the quarterback sometimes? But I think these receivers, this might be the best group they've had since, you know, when Tyreek Hill was over there, at least in terms of the way they're settled, the way people know things. And that's the biggest thing they have right now going for them is the knowledge that they have out there. These guys know the offense. They've worked with Mahomes. They've worked with him in Texas. They've worked with him in St. Joe. They've worked with him for what seems like a few years now. The reps are getting there more and more and more, and they have a little bit more of an identity now more than ever than really the last few years with what they want to do with the passing attack of the offense.
Let's switch to the side. You mentioned it a little bit, kind of talking about the cornerback situation. I know Fulton hasn't practiced so far. Who's kind of stepped up in that role? Noel Williams was somebody that we spent a lot of time talking about when he was drafted. How does he look in camp? How do you kind of evaluate that cornerback room? Who's getting reps now with Fulton out?
Yeah, there's a lot of reps. There's a lot of, people that are playing in different spots and a lot of reps at different areas. So right now we're just seeing things where we know the Chiefs offense, their opportunity to go deep, that's what they want to do. But right now the defense is looking like they're kind of putting some questions out there right now. And Christian Fulton's probably going to be sitting there like, well, when I get healthy, I've got a real shot at this thing right now. And that's no knock on the players that are out there right now defensively. I mean, we know McDuffie's going to be more of a slot guy more than anything. Watson's been on the outside. They've tried Nazi Johnson. They tried Josh Williams. They tried all these Fab Five guys from a few years ago in the draft. But right now the receivers are just, I know everything's usually geared more offensively in training camp, but even when you watch this, the linebackers, the guys like Leo Chanel had an interception today, the Nick Boltons of the world, the guys like that, I think they've had better coverage points than some of the quarterbacks right now, because they've had to stretch out those hamstrings and they've had to go defend a lot of deep balls. And you're just seeing a lot of highlights of deep balls because, well, those guys back there, I'm not trying to point out names, but I'll just say it, Shamari Connor and a couple others, they've just been sitting there getting a little lost. And I know they're trying out things, they're experimenting things out there, but if I'm Christian Fulton, I'm probably sitting there right now saying to myself, like, hey, I've got a really real good shot here to be on the field, because some of these other guys, and I don't know if it's just pressure or what, but right now it looks like somebody like Christian Fulton, we need to see him out there to see what he can do. Just from a standpoint of, I know they're going up against the Chiefs offense that's trying to go deep, but we need to go out there and see what he can do.
You mentioned Tyquan Thornton on the offensive side. Has there been that player that's emerged on defense that's maybe surprised you a little bit?
Well, everybody's going to point to Omar Norvin Lott. Obviously, he's been stuck in there with the ones. He's kind of been rotating in and out with Mike Pinnell, but for the most part, I think the Chiefs see him as a guy that, probably week 5, 6, 7, he's going to be a strong rotational piece, if not the guy going forward. A guy like Mike Danda, he's been more motivated than ever. It seems like after he had a little regression last season, he looks like he's been more motivated. But honestly, right now, it's more the defensive line than what I've seen so far. You look at some of the rookies defensively, it is Omar Norman Lott. We've seen Ashton get in there a time or two. We haven't heard much from the rookie and best of the linebacker out of Oregon. So he's really Omar's the guy that you kind of look at as, I don't know if he's a training camp darling, if you will, but he's the one that you've seen, and he's getting a lot of PT out there. And, I'm curious to see where he goes from here. He's dealt with a little bit of an ankle. He's fighting off a tweaked ankle, but he's a guy to look out for. The few times he's been, 100% and going after it, he's been the guy that's been really getting out there. He's young, he's learning, but he's hungry. You can tell he's a little fresh because he's going to play a heck of a lot at UT, or University of Tennessee. So he's a guy that he's one to look out for on the defensive side of the ball. Omar Norman Lott is one that, if you're looking for somebody who can significantly contribute in week one, it's definitely him.
Right now, a couple more questions. Talking to Harold Koontz, he does fantastic work with Fox 4. Just getting his thoughts on training camp as he's been up there. Let's go back to the right tackle situation for just a little bit. We mentioned that left tackle, it looks like that's Joshua Simmons' job to lose. They have been getting him all the reps. They're preparing for him to be their week one starter. Over at right tackle, who do you think kind of has the inside edge? And are you surprised that this is the decision? If we're just looking at it purely as a business, whether it is Juwan Taylor, who is the second highest paid player on the team, or Jalen Moore, who just got $21 million guaranteed, it doesn't look like one of those guys is going to start, and it looks like one of those guys is going to be on the bench making a lot of money to not play and be that emergency swing tackle.
Yep, one guy's going to be a swing tackle. That's just really how it's going to work. But I think the Chiefs, from a business perspective, said enough's enough. We're spending whatever resource we have to make sure that our franchise quarterback is protected in Patrick Mahomes. That's, I think, what the Chiefs' thinking is. So if that means somebody that is getting paid nearly $20 million has to sit bench for a bit, that's going to be it. I think that's just where they're headed with it. And I also think from a business sense, that's why they're going to roll with Josh and Kingsley on the left side there. They're going to roll with it, and they're just going to see what happens, and hopefully it stands up. They've got two great challenges at the beginning of the season in L.A. and Philadelphia. So they're going to learn really quick what they're about. But, yeah, that right tackle position, again, it's a competitive battle. They're back and forth. I mean, they're rotating Jalen. They're rotating Juwan. I still lean Juwan. As I said earlier, I think he's just the guy that I think has a little bit more experience in it, and he's plenty motivated. We saw that the first day he put on pads, all of a sudden, oh, here comes Juwan Taylor off the pup list. He's ready to go, and he's ready to get on those sleds and get on everything. So I think he's plenty motivated this year. I think he sees somebody trying to take his job, and that's the biggest motivator. I mean, we've seen coaches say it time and time again, sometimes the biggest motivator is the bench. And he doesn't want to be on that bench. He's like, hey, I'm a guy who's getting paid a lot of money here. I'm trying to prove my worth. I'm trying to be better at what I do. So he's going out there and he's trying to prove it. But, you know, Jalen Moore's going to make it tough on him. I mean, they paid for competition and they're getting competition. It may not be the competition that we thought originally, but they are paying for competition and they're getting it. And I think this is going to make, I mean, you would think and hope it makes Juwan Taylor better. He's got to prove it on the field, obviously. And, you know, when you have the referees out there trying to simulate some semblance of real football, but Juwan Taylor's a guy that I think Jalen Moore is going to make him better. Or if not, Jalen Moore's just going to make himself better and get himself a job. But, yeah, that's the business right now is they've spent the money. You see Trey Smith. You see Creed Humphrey. You see what they're trying to invest. You see what they're trying to do on the left side. They said, we're sparing no expense. One of you guys got to take this job, and if that means somebody's making a good number of money on the bench, so be it. We got to protect the team.
That is our guy, Harold Kuntz, joining us on the show today. He's with Fox 4. He's at training camp. Harold, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it, guys.
Absolutely. That is Harold Kuntz joining us on the show today. Happy to get his thoughts on what is happening out at Chiefs training camp. Someone on the text line says, can't they move one of those tackles to left guard? I don't think that's the plan. At all. I don't think that's the plan for the team right now. I think it's pretty clear what the plan is. I think the plan is Josh Simmons at left tackle. This was just confirmed by Jordan Schultz. Quote, I spoke with the Chiefs source today about rookie Josh Simmons. The team has been impressed with him all summer, and he is on track to start at left tackle week one. I mean, I didn't need this report. No knock towards Jordan Schultz. I mean, based on how they've been moving and acting, this is the direction they're going. This is not any different than what they did last offseason with Kingsley. It's not any different than what they did with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. They've answered the question about who their left tackle is. Their left tackle is going to be Joshua Simmons, unless something changes. And the only thing that could change would be an injury in this context. So if he stays healthy, I fully expect him to be the left tackle week one starter in Brazil against the Chargers. The question now is right tackle. That's the question. And you have two expensive options. You gave Jalen Moore $21 million guaranteed. You gave Juwan Taylor. He's the second highest paid player on the team. I would say this. If we are going to put somebody on the bench, right? And it's not going to be the young guy who's not making any money yet. It's going to be one of the veterans. I don't know why you wouldn't then go with what your future offensive line is and give yourself basically a two-year window. I mean, this is their offensive line if everything works out in 2026. It's Simmons at left tackle. It's Kingsley at left guard. It's Creed Humphrey at center. Trey Smith at right guard. And it's Jalen Moore at right tackle. I mean, right now, that's the odds-on favorite to be the offensive line at the beginning of the 2026 season. You got a chance to have that be the offensive line right now. So you got a two-year window of growth and working together. Juwan Taylor is not a part of your future at this point. You save way too much money by getting him off the roster at the end of the season. So, I mean, I understand, hey, it's play the five best guys. We're still looking at this like a business. And if we're going to eat a sunk cost, if you're going to eat a sunk cost, I much rather eat the sunk cost with the player that we've decided that we're moving on from. And then give the reps to the young guy and then see what happens. And if something goes wrong, then you can always change the course and change the plan. We've seen them do that at offensive line. But I don't really understand what the value of starting Juwan Taylor would be and sitting Jalen Moore. If you think that Jalen Moore is going to be your right tackle in 2026, then just start him now. Give him that opportunity. Let him be an every down starter in the National Football League, something he still hasn't proven that he can be. and then get that question answered heading into next season.
I get what you're saying, and I understand it. But if I know it's July and optimism is bound, everything at camp's going great, you know, no mistakes, everything's right on schedule, is it possible, as Jordan Schultz reports, that the Chiefs have liked what they've seen from Josh Simmons? Is it possible they haven't liked what they've seen from Jalen Moore? Like, you never get those reports in July, but Jalen Moore got into the facility in March. He was the presumptive left tackle all the way until the draft. And even out of the draft, he was the presumptive left tackle because of Josh Simmons' health. They did one day of pads, and now he's the swing tackle. Is it possible him moving down to swing tackle is not an indictment on Taylor being better than him so much as Moore isn't what they thought they were getting, which is a little bit of buyer beware when the Chiefs get a free agent who is largely a backup tackle in the NFL. Is it possible Jalen Moore is just not what they thought they were getting, which is why they're going to stick with Juwan Taylor, eject on both, save some money, and restart the process at right tackle next offseason?
Yeah, I'm looking at this. So two questions. Do you think that Taylor would take a pay cut next season, or do you think another team throws a bag at him? I mean, he's shown that he's a starting caliber player. I don't really think that there's a pay cut to take if you're Juwan Taylor. I just want my outright release. Like, I just want my outright release if I'm him. And if you're the Chiefs, I think you're happy to give it to him. So to look ahead just a little bit, Juwan Taylor's cap hit next season would be $27.3 million. They'd have a dead cap of $7 million. So you save $20 million by getting him off the roster. How much of a pay cut would that guy need to take to justify just release him? You've already made a determination who you're going to be. Go get yourself a cheaper backup right tackle and then move on from there. Someone then also texted in, why not trade a tackle for a draft pick? I don't think there's any world in which you can trade Juwan Taylor. I mean, not for what you think the value would be. Like, if you're willing to give Juwan Taylor away and eat some of the money, I mean, this is a big cap hit to take at this point in the season to take on Juwan Taylor. I mean, Juwan Taylor's base salary is $19.5 million. You guys can do the math. Divide that by 17 weeks. He makes $1 million a game. What team is taking on that level of salary unless something super drastic happens? So I just don't think you're getting anything for Juwan Taylor. I just think the Chiefs are just going to have to keep one on ice, and it's going to be a break in case of an emergency if something goes wrong. I don't think there's anything you can do. I don't really know why you would trade Jalen Moore. I mean, that was your big swing in free agency. You didn't really take a lot of swings in free agency. You took two swings. One we think could be the backup right tackle. The other one's on the PUP list and isn't starting at corner. Like, there isn't really much other new things that you went out and did to improve this team. So now you're just basically punting on the free agency move that you made less than 4 months later. So I think some of this is just, I mean, somebody got to be mad. And they've at least determined our first round pick is not the one to get mad. And I'm looking at the text line. If you're making the argument that they did this last year with Kingsley, I mean, I guess they also did this with Creed Humphrey. I mean, this isn't any different than the Creed Humphrey plan. The Chiefs percentage of shooting correctly when it comes to this topic is pretty good. This is not any different than how they did Trey Smith. Trey Smith just signed the largest interior offensive line contract in the history of the league. Creed Humphrey, some of you would thought that Creed Humphrey's the best center in the league for a while. Maybe other than Jason Kelce, he's been one of the three best for the last four seasons. So yeah, they got it wrong on Kingsley, no question. They got it right on two other ones. So I'm not going into it, well, you were wrong on the last time. You got a lot right. So I'm at least open to the possibility of it. And I told you guys, I was wrong. I didn't think they were going to start Josh Simmons. Now, I didn't think he was going to be healthy enough, so that was going to make the situation easier. I didn't think they were prepared to. The Chiefs seemed prepared to either put their second highest paid player on the bench or their big free agent acquisition on the bench. That's incredible news. Not a lot of teams are willing to do that. Now, I get it, what you were fighting for and where you feel like your position, but, I mean, for a offseason in which the Chiefs kept it pretty in-house, this was a lot like 2020 and run it back. They took one big swing in free agency. He might not start. And their second highest paid player that they've moved and restructured his contract, like, one of them is not playing in week one against the Chargers for a rookie, for a young guy that they got time to make that decision on. So it shows you how well Simmons has played. It shows you their belief. It also shows you that they're perfectly fine with having that guy as a break in case of emergency if something goes wrong. We can keep this conversation going. I also want to talk a little Royals baseball as well. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
All right, a couple of things on the text line that I want to get to, and then we'll talk a little Royals in this segment as well. Text line 913-586-7965. Let me find where this text was. CDOT, the real question with this team was, is one of the three tackles better than Kingsley at guard? This is where I think we're doing a little bit of Madden right here. I looked this up during the break. Juwan Taylor has played 6,481 snaps in the National Football League. He's never played guard before. Josh Simmons, you brought him in to be your left or right tackle. I don't think the solution is just, hey, I know you never played this position before on the complete other side if you're Juwan Taylor. You've been a right tackle. Now we're going to put you at left guard. I think we're doing a little Madden roster depth movement here. I don't think the plan is to put one of them at left guard. I think the other person is playing left out. I don't think that person is playing. To the point about trading for a pick, someone else sent in. A team that really wants him could give up a sixth or a seventh round pick and then extend him. That way they don't have to worry about landing him in free agency. I could end up being wrong about Juwan Taylor. I ended up being wrong about Josh Simmons, so I can live with that. I might end up being wrong, but this is what it would take for a team to trade for Juwan Taylor. The team that they are trying to catch in Kansas City, they will want to solve one of Kansas City's biggest problems. Kansas City doesn't have a lot of problems. Their biggest problem could be that their second highest paid player is not a starter. That honestly could be the Chiefs' biggest problem heading into week one, that almost 10% of their salary cap is on the bench. Why would I help the Chiefs in their salary cap issue by getting his contract off the books? And why would I then give the Chiefs a draft pick to solve one of their financial issues and then give Juwan Taylor all of the leverage to make even more money? He's already making $19.5 million. Why would I then extend with you for a cheaper amount than what I was getting paid to play for Kansas City, and I didn't get the chance to choose what team I wanted to play for? So Juwan Taylor, for somehow, has already gotten all of the leverage in his career. You now want to give Juwan Taylor more leverage and get the Chiefs out of a financial situation? I just don't see it being very feasible that a team is going to trade for Juwan Taylor. He's the second highest paid player on the team. It's one thing to trade a sixth or a seventh round pick for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, whose contract is about to expire, and he's making no money. DeAndre Hopkins was making $8 million. Juwan Taylor is making $24 million. I'm not trading for that guy. Not for an okay right tackle. He might not be good enough to start for you guys. No. I don't see any team giving the Chiefs anything. Unless the Chiefs are willing to eat a lot of money. Unless they're just like, hey, it's a sunk cost. Here, we'll split the difference to get him off the team. But in that case, you might as well keep him in case an injury happens. If there's any team that should be prepared for an injury to happen at tackle, shouldn't it be the Chiefs? If there's any team that should be prepared for maybe all of our offensive linemen won't be here at the end of the season, it will be the Chiefs. At this point, you just got to take your medicine and ride it out with Juwan Taylor, ride it out with Jalen Moore, and then see what happens next year. I just don't see another team getting the Chiefs out of this.
The Drive. First of breaking news in Kansas City.
I hate to take away from the Chiefs conversation. We have some breaking Royals news from Annie Rogers over at MLB.com. Royals starting pitcher Chris Bubich is done for the year. He is no longer going to pitch the rest of the 2025 season as he continues to recover from a left rotator cuff strain that he experienced over the weekend. So Chris Bubich is done for 2025.
All right. Let me think about this. This is my initial reaction. I'm obviously not happy that Chris Bubich is hurt. Is this the worst thing that could happen, though? This is me thinking out loud. The Royals are done for this season. They're done. I know you're holding on hope that they're done. They're not making the playoffs. Is it the worst thing that a pitcher who took a big step forward and has proven himself this year as an all-star essentially gets from now until next February to rest up for when the Royals could potentially retool and regroup and be back at the beginning of the 2026 season as a team that has a legitimate chance to go win the American League Central? Like, I don't know if this is the worst thing that could possibly happen. He's having some shoulder issues. We're going to sit him and rest him for the rest of the year. I don't know if that was the plan to rest him, but now he doesn't put more innings and you get to go from there. I don't know if this is the worst possible thing that could happen for the Royals. That's my initial reaction to hearing this news. This would be one thing if we're talking about he had Tommy John surgery, so he would be out for next season. We're saying that he can't pitch anymore in 2025. Okay, that's fine.
So I have a little bit of the same reaction, a little bit different. A, the fact they're shutting him down on July 28th from a rotator cuff strain has me concerned it might be more than a strain. It has me concerned there might be, we might get getting news in a few days or weeks that, oh, he got an MRI, and it turns out it's way worse than we think, because what they're reporting is it's a rotator cuff strain. That seems like a light injury to be shut down for 3 months. But I agree with you. If you are a person like me or you who thinks the season is not going to the playoffs, this is not the worst deal in the world. If you are a fan holding out hope for the wild card, this is the end of the line. This is the boat has taken on too much water. It's going
to
sink.
Yeah, I guess. But to me, though, if you were looking at it through that lens, I want to talk to people who are realistic about the Royals. We've seen 100 games for the Royals. They haven't been over 500 in a month. If we're still having wild card conversations, I don't know what to, I can't reach you in this conversation. To me, this conversation is, do you think Chris Bubich can be ready for 2026? I mean, that's what signing Seth Lugo was for, right? Like, signing Seth Lugo was not about trying to make the playoffs this season. It was about positioning yourself in 2026. So over a span of 24 hours, you have made two 2026 decisions in my mind. Let's shut Bubich down for the rest of the year, and let's lock up Seth Lugo for next year and give ourselves a bunch of options. You now give yourself potentially 4 or 5 months if you want to trade Chris Bubich. Because the worst thing that could have happened, if you're thinking about having Chris Bubich, is the worst thing that could have happened is he could have got hurt in August. He's been out for a bunch of time, and then you can't do anything about him. You can't do anything if he gets hurt in August. You can't do anything if he gets hurt in September. He can now be hurt for the next 3 months. He then shows up, and now when you go to the winter meetings, you now give yourself an option of what you want to do. So that's what I'm saying. Someone just says he's done for the year. Injury issues are never a good thing. I don't know if that's always the case. Like, if they had just announced they were shutting Bubich down for the rest of the year to preserve him, that's a move that I would applaud for the Royals for the remainder of the year. I think this is a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways. If we are talking about this being a 1 or 2 month injury and not a year injury where he's going to need surgery to repair something in his elbow.
I think I agree with you, but I will think this. As someone who understands this offseason, we talked about this at the onset of the show, and the offseason, that's the next window for the Royals to get better because it seems like they're kind of done near, as we near the deadline. Chris Bubich was a potential trade chip. Like, they have a surplus of starting pitching. Him being hurt, I think, does diminish his value.
I still think he is that, though. Like, someone just said, CDOT, wasn't he somebody we were considering trading for another bat? They still can trade him for another bat. They just can't trade him for a bat now. They can't trade him for a bat now. There's other times where trades happen. They didn't trade for Will Shields in the middle of the season, or James Shields, excuse me. They traded for him at the end of the year. I mean, there's another time that you can trade him. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, they're 4 games out on July 28th. Anything can happen. If that is what you are holding on to the Royals, I'm not here to tell you otherwise. I'm simply telling you that we have seen 106 Royals games this year, and they are hitting August. August 1st is later this week. I don't think the Royals are making the postseason. They can win 77 games this year, maybe better than that. They can win 80 games this year for sure. In order to make the postseason, you'd have to win probably, 85 games, 87 games? I just don't think this is an 87-win team based on our 4 months of evidence of watching them play. I don't think that's what they are. So right now, it's to me about how do you position yourself where on January 1, you feel really good about where you are as an organization, as a team, and you are best prepared to head into spring training as a team that can win the American League Central. So does that include trading Chris Bubich? Does that include trading Noah Cameron? Most things are on the table for me heading into next year, but Chris Bubich was going to do you no good if he continued to pitch through this and an injury happened in August and now you can't trade him in the offseason. To me, this allows him time to recover and keeps all of your options open about what you want to do, potentially heading into the winter meetings when action happens again. We can keep this conversation. Breaking news, Chris Bubich is done for the rest of the year. What does this mean for the Royals? What does this mean for their organization? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
I want to read a couple of you guys' texts. We're reacting to the news that Chris Bubich is out for the remainder of the season with an arm injury. CDOT, for a team that has struggled with pitching for decades, you seem awfully excited to trade them away. You also said the Royals were not going to re-sign Lugo. I think that caught a lot of people off guard. But I guess to the first part, I mean, I'm definitely not excited about trading them away. But I think you have to be realistic. The Royals have a problem offensively. Like, we can go through the numbers if you want, but the Royals have a problem offensively. There are only two avenues to solve the problem. One, trading one of the starting pitchers that they have to solve the problem. The other two is money. Now, if the Royals are planning on putting a package together financially to go attract a power-hitting outfielder, great. You will never, ever hear me complain about the Royals spending money. Never. But that is it. They have two options to solve the problem. It is take Noah Cameron or Chris Bubich or whomever and turn that into someone who can hit, or go out in free agency and overspend for someone who is an impact player. That's how they do it. So whichever one they do is fine with me. I don't care which one they do. Honestly, I don't care which one they do. But those are the only two options, or we'll be in this exact same situation. I mean, heading into next year, we've been talking about a six-man rotation. Let's assume everybody is healthy to start off the year, right? Assume everybody is healthy. I mean, somebody's not starting in that scenario, right? It's kind of what they had. It's kind of why they got rid of Brady Singer. Who's the odd man out if everyone's healthy at the beginning of the year? So you've got Lugo, Reagans, Waka, Cameron, Bubich, Laurent. Everybody's healthy heading into next year. How do you play that if you're the Royals? Or do you take one of those additional assets that you have and you potentially trade that to flip it to something that you desperately need? But, I mean, there's no question in my mind, the Royals cannot do offensively what they've done for basically the last year. The Royals' offense has been, they have been this way since August 1st of last year. They've been one of the five worst offenses in the league. And all they've really done in the last year is add Jonathan India. That will not be enough next season. Now, you get Jack Caglione back, and he's healthy, and he's year two. There's reason to believe that things can change next year, but this is solved by a player acquisition. And unless the Royals are willing to break the bank when it comes to going to get a power-hitting outfielder, they can find a Kendrys Morales or one of those kind of bats. It will probably come by them trading something that they really like to get something that they really need.
It's also worth noting, and it's July, so if you haven't done this, that's fine. The free agency outfield bats next year are not like, oh, there isn't a Kendrys Morales, for that example, available. There isn't the, oh, there's the power-hitting bat, boom, we'll go get him. The free agency crop, at least as of now next year in baseball, is pretty mediocre. So you're right, the Royals can give up on one of their surplus of pitching. They also might be able to give up on one of their prospects. I know they have, what, three or four catching prospects kicking around in the minors. They have a couple, you know, up-and-coming arms. Like, but even that, I would say that's a trade of something you like. It's a person you think could one day be helping the Major League club, but I don't know that free agency is going to be the best avenue. I mean, even if you put Caglione and, let's say, Grichik stays in the lineup for next year because basically a nothing contract, I don't know, your offense is light years better. You need to be doing more, and that more is going to have to be via trade. It just feels like that's the best path.
No, yeah, for sure. And someone said, who is in that trade market, though? I that is J.J. Piccolo's job. I'm not here to make it seem like I watch nearly enough baseball to answer that question for you to finish. If that was a football question, I can answer it for you. Who can the Royals get via trade in the winter? I don't know. I don't know yet. We'll figure that out when we get there. I have no answer to that question right now.
I mean, not to, like, to answer the question.
I just don't know the answer right now. I'm not going to pretend like I do know.
Do you know what every team is probably in the market for? Starting pitching. Like, there are 29 teams in baseball that if you called and said, hey, I got a major league ready starting pitching arm, would you be interested? I can't imagine very many GMs hang up on you. So who's in that trade market? Everyone. Everyone likes pitching. No one hates it.
Yeah, and I guess there was a question about Chris Bubich of how this is a negative because he just shown that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, I think that's a legitimate question, a legitimate concern with Chris Bubich. I mean, if he's done for the season, he made 20 starts. He didn't make a start last year, and he started three games back in 2023. Like, this is just kind of who Chris Bubich is, and I don't say that like he did something wrong. I don't think that. I just think the same way, like, Hollywood Brown, for example. Like, if you look at Hollywood Brown, the back of his football card, it kind of tells you the kind of player. I do think with Chris Bubich, he's not a guy that you can rely on for 30 starts. So I think you go into it kind of knowing that. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't have tremendous value. I mean, he's a 27-year-old all-star is what he was this season. He was phenomenal this year when he was healthy. He was one of the best pitchers in the American League when he's healthy. So how do you manage that? What do you do? How do you move past that if you're the Royals? But I still think there's a bright future there. And just from the money and everything that you have tied up into Chris Bubich, I mean, I'm not super interested in moving on from him, but I don't think you can be afraid of doing that if you're the Royals, to your point, where you know this offseason what you need and you know what you need to do to get better. And now you got to try to figure out what the right combination of those players are to take that next step.
By the way, to further and make your point feel stronger, this tweet from Sam McDowell just came across. The Royals are anticipating that Chris Bubich will be out for the season. His injury will not require surgery, but just needs extended rest. He expects to have a normal offseason and be back next year. They're shutting him down. That's what they're doing. Everything you said the last 10 minutes is 100% true. They're just no surgery needed. He needs rest. Shut him down. He'll be normal in the offseason, and he'll be good to go by February for spring training. He'll be good to go by March for opening day, whether that's on the Royals or another team. Like, the fact that there's no surgery required has me swing all the way to your side. This is smart baseball by the Royals. Protect him and do it for a year where you think you can win the division. Like, no one's stopping you from getting hot. Like, let's say they get white hot and win a play, go a wild card. That's great. But next year, the goal is the division, not the wild card. So make sure you're set up for that moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Royals are taking the long play here. The worst thing that could happen, and now let's say that Chris Bubich could come back in a month, right? Let's say he could come back in a month, the end of August. Then you got to go through a rehab start. You got to get him back. It's like, when's the earliest you think he could be back? So if you think it's September 10th and you're being realistic about where you are, I think the Royals started making 2026 moves yesterday. They made that decision with Lugo that they want him a part of their future. And I think they just made that decision with Chris Bubich about for the rest of the year. Because the worst thing that could happen to Bubich is if he got injured down the stretch and now you close one of the potential doors that you could potentially walk down at the end of the season. Like, it's not 100% that he's on the team on January 1 of 2026. So let's at least preserve that, and then we can have those conversations internally. That's what I think the Royals made the decision to do today. We'll continue to talk about this coming up on the other side. The Royals are in town today. They have a home game coming up later today against the Atlanta Braves. We'll also talk about the Chiefs that I think have made a major roster decision. We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.